Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us, for bringing us together that we can worship you. And Lord, help our hearts and minds to be straight and honest and pure with you, O Lord. Help us, O God, as we worship and look at your word, that you will enlighten us with the things you want us to know, to see, and to hear. And Lord, that you will help us serve you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Now, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we sometimes feel that it might be a portion of Scripture that is out of text and not really one that matters a whole lot. Yet we find God's will and God's way being done in and through the birth of his son, through the growing up years of his son, and that Joseph and Mary were a couple that believed and trusted in God above all things. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed that God had brought Jesus into the world, and they knew this by a special way through the Holy Spirit, and that Mary had conceived and born a son that was called and is called the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. We see the fulfillment of time was there when Jesus was born. We also find that as he fled from Israel, Bethlehem, into Egypt, that this was to protect Christ, and we find that Satan was doing everything he can and could to destroy Christ so that the salvation message could not be brought. We find in Revelation it talks about Christ being born and how Satan puts out water, it's called, as a flood to try and drown him, and yet God stopped that water or that flood. We find in the birth of Christ that Herod, the one that was despised and one which did not care about anybody but himself, was the one that had all the baby boys in the Bethlehem area, and not only in the town of Bethlehem, but also the area of it, killed, because here a grown man, and I don't know just how old he was, but he was so afraid of this baby that was being born, and he was to be king of the Jews, and king of kings, and lord of lords. And he was so afraid that this baby was going to take his place. It goes to show how non-believers, people that don't have Jesus in their heart and their life, think many times. That they are thinking that they're going to live maybe forever, and if they don't, what they have would be passed down to their children and their children would be holy and great and never come to an end. Yet we find, even in the story of Israel, that God told Judah and Benjamin, do not forsake Christ, or do not forsake God, and do not forsake the law that God had given them through Moses. Because if you do, Babylon, which was a Gentile nation and one that didn't believe in God, would conquer you. And we find that's what happened. God also told through the prophets that Judah would be in exile or under the Babylonian rule for 70 years. He also told that the king Cyrus would be the one that would be king of the one that would come and release the Judah and Benjamin tribes from being under the Babylonian Empire. And we read that in Daniel. When Daniel was realizing the 70 years was up, he prayed very much and he worked under King Cyrus. You see, scripture even gives the name of the king that would take Babylon's place, Nebuchadnezzar. And so we see those things coming true. And that was many, many years before Christ was born. So when God gave the testimony of Christ coming in Bethlehem, some 700 years before Jesus was born, it's a prophecy you know would be true. Christ came. Christ had to flee or was taken by Mary and Joseph into Egypt. And there God called them back into Israel after Herod was killed. Herod's son took over his spot, and he was just as wicked as his dad was. And so Joseph prayed about it, and it doesn't say where they stopped, but it appears that they stayed in some place along the line from Egypt back into Israel for some time. And God then related to Joseph to take them to a different part of the country, and they went into Galilee and to Nazareth. Nazareth is a city that was small. It was on the trade routes of the people going from north to south or east to west. And so it was a town not known for its religious upbringing, but one in which you had a lot of trade going on, even though it was a small town, and we would maybe call it a sea station if you wanted to call it that, because the town was not large. Yet it did not have a real high religious content. We find that later in life that Philip, when he was called to follow Christ, he found Nathanael. And as he found Nathanael, he says to him, come, we have found the Messiah, the one from the prophets and the one that Moses talked about. And in that, Nathanael comes out and he says, who is he? And Philip says, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael makes one statement in the Bible. It says, what good can come out of Nazareth? That city that was despised, that city that was thought very little of. And Philip says, come and see. We find in Revelation chapter 22, we are told to come and drink of the water of life. Come and eat off the fruit of the tree of life, and come and have our sins forgiven. And so as Nathanael came, Jesus told him, you are truly an Israelite indeed. There is no guile in you. You speak what you think and what you say. And he accepted Jesus right there as Lord and Savior. as the Son of the living God. But we can go back and into the Old Testament, and we see God speaking through Isaiah, not only speaking about the coming of Christ, but also the living Word as it lives among us. If we were to look at verse 6 of chapter 49, we are told that chapter 6 verse 6 of chapter 49 is considered the Old Testament commission, the same as the commission that Christ gave us when he said, "All power and authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And therefore, go unto all nations, preaching the word of God, baptizing them and teaching them about the word of God and why Christ came into the world." And that verse 6 says, indeed, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the reserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And as God was speaking there, he's saying, I'm sending you a Savior. I am sending you one that will die on the cross of Calvary. And when he dies on that cross of Calvary, that cross which was despised and one of the worst deaths that a person could have, it was made a glorious thing, because as we sing, there's room at the cross for one more. And we know that as the blood of Christ came down and off that cross and off of Christ, it covers all of our sin and it gives us salvation, because it is through the grace of God that and our faith in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary that we have salvation. It is by faith we are saved through grace. As it tells us in Romans, and Paul, as he wrote the book of Romans, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We find that as we do, our righteousness is not the righteousness of God. God's righteousness is much higher than ours. God's thoughts are much higher than ours. And in this commission, he tells that, he says, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. We realize that the Jews not only rejected Jesus Christ, they rejected the work, they rejected that God had sent him, and they questioned God, Jesus, and as Jesus talked to them, they would not admit that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world. They would not admit that Jesus was the Son of the living God. And therefore, they got the people to crucify him and the Romans to give the final okay. Yet it was to fulfill the will of God that Christ's salvation would come through Christ because of his death on the cross. We see and we've seen and we've talked about how Christ had that final battle with Satan and how the world was darkened because of sin. We find that Satan is still out there trying to do away with people believing in Jesus Christ. We find Satan is out there trying to do everything he can to convince us that Christ never came. And we find that so many people are falling for his evil ways. We find in many places that the good that the Christians have done, Satan is sending people in to try and undo these things. We find last year in the case of abortions in and of itself, that there was something like 130 million babies aborted last year in the United States and parts of Canada. And we find that unacceptable, for they realize that at conception, the birth of a baby is born, and we find that it is from birth and even before birth that God has known each one of us and each one of our parts. We find then that man is still going against what God wants and God's way of life. We find also that Satan is there trying to stamp out the Christian thoughts, the Christian's way of life, and for each one to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. We find that God tells us if we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we will know that He is not only watching over us, but keeping us. As we go into verse 8 of this same chapter, God tells us it is the acceptable time of salvation. And in Corinthians, Paul tells us today is the day of salvation. Today is the day, not tomorrow. And you can't do it yesterday because you can't undo the things that have been done. Yet we find that today is the day of salvation. Today is an acceptable time because the Spirit may leave you if you are not listening to it. The Spirit can leave you, and He may not return to convict you of your sin and to bring you to the Lord. It is by the grace of God that we are saved through faith. It's our faith in Christ, what He has done for us, that He has not only given us an acceptable time in which to be saved and an acceptable time in which to have salvation, but He has given us all that we need and all that we have to share because He has loved us so much and He has been so gracious unto us. And we find that under Scripture, and as we read and study Scripture, that God sent Jesus into the world for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to die for our sins because He loved us so much. As we have a story of a man that was, he was telling the story of his brother who had been in jail for many things he had done. And as he sat in jail and he realized that Christ had died for him, someone talked to him and told him to turn his life to the Lord. And he did this. And even though he spent time in jail for the things he had done wrong, he prayed for the rest of his family. And in that prayer, over time, it said that he got his mom and dad back together again because they had been separated but not divorced, that they got back together and realized that God was the center of the world. God is the center in which we must have in each one of our lives. And that others in the family had accepted Christ. And this man said, even though he had done many things wrong, he says, I pray every day for my loved ones that they too will see God, that they will see Christ, and they'll see how Christ came into the world to not only die for them, but in grace and compassion, He has given them His life. And He did this even though Satan tried to stop Him many, many times. We find that God has had mercy on each one of us, that God in His mercy, He has come to us and He has asked us not only to follow Christ and to have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, but Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for one reason and one reason alone, and that was to pay that penalty of sin for us. We find also that Paul tells us, accept Christ today, awake out of sleep, and make sure that we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And he tells us that the righteousness of God is through faith, our faith in Christ. And as we walk daily, we've come into contact with many people. The other day I came into contact with a lady, and she asked me what I thought of a certain man. Well, I said I didn't know the man, and she thought maybe I had. And she said, "What do you think of him?" And I told the lady, I says, "Does the man have Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior?" And she says, "I think so." And I says, "If he's living for the Lord and he has Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior and he's walking with the Lord, he'll be in heaven." And she kept on about different things about this man. And I kept bringing back the fact that you must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Your personal relationship puts you first with the Lord. Your personal relationship is that you have God living in your life in such a way that he is shown. And my personal feeling was she wanted an argument, and I didn't know who she was talking about really, so it's kind of hard to do that. But I did stick with this. And as a Christian, if someone questions you about somebody, do they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If they do, and they're walking with the Lord, yes, in our physical life, we can and do make mistakes. But if we have Christ first in our lives and we have a personal relationship with him, we will be saved because Christ is first, because we listen to the Holy Spirit living in us. That Holy Spirit will convict us of the things we do wrong, but the Holy Spirit will also give us the peace which passes all understanding, the peace that only God can give. Because we're walking with the Lord, we have taken and we've realized that Christ was put on the cross of Calvary, that his blood was shed there, and it covers our sin. And it's because of the compassion and the love of God towards us. And as we see that, we can find that God will help us day by day. Yes, we will have hard times and people will criticize us many times. Yet, instead of retaliation, we will find in the love of God, we can show God's love to these same people and that they have no way of accusing us of something that's not true. Yet we find that people will try it, and we've been told that Christ says, "I'll send you out as lambs among wolves and doves, and I want you to show the love of God, and I want you to be able to live that love and that life, that people will not be able to accuse you of wrongdoing, that people would see Christ in you, and that you would be living such a way that Christ would be glorified and honored in all that we say or do." We find that Philip not only brought Nathanael to Jesus, but that as Jesus was brought into Nazareth to live there and to grow there, we find that it was a place in which he could grow up and be taught the Word of God. And in that teaching and in prayer, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up in the stature and the relationship with God. And Jesus became not only strong in faith, but he had realized that he is the Son of God, and he was crucified for us. He would be. He realized all this, and he accepted it in obedience into even the death on the cross for you and for me, because God loved us so much. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is not only dwelling with us today, he was with Joseph and Mary, and he helped keep himself from sin, and he is the one that died for us on the cross of Calvary. It's on that cross of Calvary that we have our salvation. It's on the cross of Calvary then that we have eternal life because of what Christ did for us, giving us salvation because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And it is through that death on the cross, the burial and the rising again and ascending into heaven, that God not only forgives us, but he helps us to live for him day by day. We can call upon him and we can trust in all that he wants us to say and do because he will care for us day by day and he will watch over us and heal us. Heavenly Father, I pray you would be with us. Help us to do your will. Help us, O God, to follow you, that our faith will grow day by day as we read and study your holy word. And help us, O God, that we would be willing to stand for you regardless of what the cost is to us, because in eternity you have a much better plan. You have a much better place than we have here, that we would be with you in eternity and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to hymn number 60.